This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview. The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan.
Kisses from coast to coast.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, kisses bye-bye. Also just from Joburg, where I stayed this week. Whereas you went gallivanting.
Durban, Cape Town's busy. Life's good.
I'm going to Durban this week, actually. I'm very excited.
I dig Durban.
I love Durban. Every time I go there, I'm like, why do I not live here again?
I prefer Cape Town in that sense. But
I don't.
Yeah, both are great. This is The Unview. The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. We don't know who's thin, who's rich, and we're definitely fabulous.
Yeah.
That we can own. You know, you've got to own things in life.
I must say, since I've been doing this show, I've become far more fabulous.
I agree, actually. I can't not.
I didn't even notice today, but my beanie matches my shoelaces.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're having an effect on me.
Is it the gay thing?
A little bit. And maybe the fact that we interviewed Mr. Klook last week.
Oh, yes, Malcolm gave you some, yeah.
He gave me some tips.
Some tips.
Yeah, just the tip.
Tips and, okay. Let's leave it at that. Nathan Rowe, how you doing, boy?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Life is good. The album's coming out soon.
Yes, Swing City. Yeah, it's coming out on Spring Day. 1st of September.
Yeah, that's...
We're doing the launch this Sunday at the Barnyard Theatre in Cresta.
Lovely.
Yeah, we managed to find a time when they weren't doing anything there.
Oh,
apparently
so,
Sunday night.
So yeah, you got the ukulele. What can we expect from you? Give us something from the album.
Oh, jeepers.
Wait till I tell you the guests are in studio. You're going to want to listen to this music. You're
all right.
All singing, by the way.
Well, this is just me on a ukulele.
Even Mark Lottring will make him sing. Everyone
sing. So, let's see. Turn the ukulele up.
Buena.
Above is the summer moon. Children will be sleeping soon.
Mm-hmm.
The work is all done and sold. In studio we'll be talking to Sam Pio. The cattle bells do not ring. The night birds begin to sing. The work is all been done, so it's time for Alan Ford to sing.
Home talk takes me home, home talk.
Calling me home.
Home talk takes me home, home talk.
Yeah.
Come on, harmonies.
La, home talk. La, la.
Oh, yes. Praise sing it.
Home talk. Special guest in the studio from the show Calling Me Home at the Civic Theatre, the Johannesburg Theatre. I get confused by the name at Joburg Theatre, Nelson Mandela Theatre.
Worked because you worked there 20 something years ago. No, not quite 20, but it was the Civic Theatre.
It was like long. It was 12 years ago. Thoroughly modern mini, dear.
Yes,
you were,
darling,
you were upstairs,
yes.
We were downstairs.
Yes, you Debbie Does Dallas, and let me put it out there.
Sam's always been on top.
Samantha Pio, top South African actress, singer, cabaret artist, performer, galore, in studio with the phenomenal Anthony Dowling, who has just come back from London after spending 4 years playing Raoul.
Mm-hmm, on the Asia tour, yes.
On the Asian tour of The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, I was going to say I love Aladdin. Totally different villain. Never mind. That's Jafar.
Jafar,
yes.
Raoul.
Sorry,
Raoul,
I get,
Jafar.
Yeah, okay. I get confused. So I don't think it's fair that a gay gentleman introduced Sam Pio. Because, well, just because you don't understand, I don't think, you know, like when people see, when heterosexual men think Sam Pio,
shut up.
We picture like a Native American standing on the edge of a cliff with a feather in her hair. And
like Pocahontas.
Yes.
You've her gone long Disney flowing, again.
I know, sorry. I've got a problem.
Is it usual?
Okay.
You're obsessed.
So two phenomenal actors are in the studio and, the show Calling Me Home is, as I said, at the Joburg Theatre. It's happening right now at the moment. A very interesting piece. And I think people should see it because for one major reason, I think a lot of money needs to go into creating more South African work.
Definitely.
And I think that the show is a little long, but the music's great. The voices are fantastic. The talent is all there. Staging, brilliant. And I really, listen, I think it's a few people have knocked it. But
a lot of people have knocked it. But we have responded in kind. But
Sam, there is one concern that I have. Because if somebody is not investing in creating our own stories, we're always looking abroad. And I'm not saying that it's not brilliant, the Priscilla Queen of the Deserts and the West Side Stories and all these sort of, but we constantly look abroad. So yeah. Someone's got to take a leap somewhere.
No, totally, I agree.
And a good effort. Good effort.
For sure, definitely.
So that's fair.
And big cajones, as they say, to do this on an epic scale. And why are you laughing at that?
Because it doesn't go with the Pocahontas image of you.
Sam, long hair, beautiful.
Giant cajones.
Cajones. Mm.
And for us as well, it's great for local artists to, I guess, create new characters and also have producers that have really treated us really well and very respectfully, which is also quite something. You know, as actors, sometimes you get treated...
What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Come on.
You don't have to mention names.
No names.
No, I think it's just in terms of, you know, you kind of are just a cog in the wheel. You're not necessarily seen as, you know, frontliners, or even if you are used to sell tickets and put bums on seats, you're kind of just part of the whole mechanism. Whereas I think, and certainly Anthony's experienced this overseas as well, producers will treat the leading players as really valuable and very important to the piece, and you get treated with a certain amount of respect. And certainly, you know, you were talking earlier about being in the industry and having, you know, done your show, 20-something, when you were 21. Once you've been in the industry for a long time, it's very nice to be treated in a particular way. Mm. And so I've gone right off the track here, but that was just my thinking.
Well, the thing is, you've been in the business now for how long?
Yeah, 28 years.
28 years.
Yeah.
What was your first show ever?
Joseph. Who doesn't do Joseph? Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I was an adoring girl.
Anthony Downey, what was your first production?
Joseph as well. I played Gad, yeah. My first musical was Joseph.
Really?
But like you're saying, I think it's everyone's first. You know, it's the one that we all jump into and we start.
Sure.
The one business. That breaks the seal.
Yeah,
that's exactly. That's why I never got into theatre. I missed Joseph. Don't.
That's what happened.
There we go.
I better call those.
You got to find the show.
I went straight into nudity.
You went into porn. Yeah.
I went into musical porn.
Yeah.
How weird.
It is weird. I think it tells a lot about you as an actor. You know, I mean,
what you're going to musical porn?
Well, you look across the table here, and you've got these consummate professionals. I mean, they look like they're carved out of marble. They are just so beautiful, so wonderful, so talented. And then this side, the closest I came to theatre was I got a call back for SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical. You know, I didn't go back. I should have.
Did you want to? Or you just decided you?
At the time, I thought it would be fun.
You know, talk about sometimes not getting the best reviews. The Citizen newspaper, when I did Debbie Does Dallas, said Alan Ford, radio presenter, television producer. Not so bad, but stick to what you usually do.
Was that Bruce Daniel?
I can't mention who it was. But literally, and you know, it was quite crushing. I thought to myself, don't do this again. You know, produce it maybe, but don't.
That's it. And one does really need to have
I have said this though. It is possibly one of the most difficult jobs in the world, because the amount of work that goes into it, the amount of prep, the amount of coaching for the voice, lines, accent work that you've got to do, dancing, performing, staging, it's costume. It is. You have to be a schizophrenic. That's what it is. And then all of a sudden, the house stands up, gives you a standing ovation, and then you're left on this high, and then like, what do you do? And then you know, and often it's hard to come down from that type of stuff. It really is.
Did you hear what he said?
We drink after the show. That's what we do. That's what happens.
So let me ask you both this question.
That's why it's amazing that we're up early this morning.
Yes. Because you drank last night.
No, because it was you two. We've come to see you, brilliant people.
But is it difficult to maintain relationships?
Who knows? Haven't been in one for the longest time. Couldn't possibly tell you.
I must say, like, because you work kind of alternative hours to everyone else. Mm. You know, while everyone's at work, you're kind of not, and then as soon as they get home, you go to work.
Yes,
that's kind of thing. Yeah. So you don't ever make friends with regular people. Hey? Is that why you kind of stay in a little group of?
Except when we're unemployed.
Yes,
we have time to do that.
I know, and those are like the. And
then you sleep on regular people's couches,
and then weird things happen. Weird things happen because I must tell you, I do understand this. Is that you? Then when you're rehearsing, it's daytime, and then you have daytime.
Yes.
Nighttime.
Yes.
Daytime. Nighttime.
That's it.
And then of course. The weekends are useless because there's two shows and
yes,
three shows.
Yes, what's a weekend?
And then Mondays,
it's the day
everybody
off.
Goes to work and then you've got nothing to do with your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're drunk on Sunday and no one understands why. And they think you've got problems. I don't know.
There's Anthony and Sam on a Monday morning going, what are these people on about? Hate Mondays. Go away, Monday. And you're like,
oh, like Monday's
my
favorite day.
Samantha Pio. Well, I mean, from Thoroughly Modern Millie to Cabaret to West Side Story, Aspects of Love, the list goes on and on.
Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
Shame, were you sad when the British MC guy passed away? Didn't he pass away recently?
Shame. Yes, he died. Yeah, he died.
I don't know if you have
Ruth
any connection.
No, yeah. No connection at all. Just having obviously watched the.
But just
British
being like,
one.
Shame, I'm going to miss
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
he
was
smile.
Like a legend.
He was 89 years old, I mean.
Yes. He was an institution on his own.
Oh,
wasn't
wonderful.
He? Yes.
He was with that little moustache.
Yes.
And that horsey grin.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think he was married to a Miss World.
He was.
Miss Venezuela.
Miss
Venezuela.
You're right. I think and she still looks like a Miss Venezuela.
Miss Venezuela. <That's> when you become Miss Venezuela, you're immediately siliconed. You don't move. And when you die, all that's left is just silicone.
You're not going to be buried, nothing, no.
And the fake contact lens.
Okay, to Madame Tussauds.
As I said, Anthony Downing, our other special guest in studio, Phantom of the Opera, here in South Africa in 2012, went on to tour. You moved to London and then toured the world and Asia, in particular for 4 years. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Fantastic.
Do you get bored?
No, not really, because every season was different. So, I mean, we have like 2 to 4 months of the show. I mean, South Korea was quite tough because I was 4.5 months of straight, like 8 shows a week in the freezing cold in winter. So it was tough. But it's always nice to do different countries because then everything starts fresh again. Mm. And you see, you know, because we've got time to explore and, you know, some of the cast changes and, you know, so there's new things that happen. I think if I was doing a show constantly for 4 years without stopping, there'd definitely be some... Yeah, I wouldn't say.
A lot of drinking.
So it's 9:15. The Phantom of the Opera. What was your favorite song?
Oh, I'll ask of you, of course.
Ah. And now we go.
Oh, no.
And it's no more talk of darkness. Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sure Sam knows Sarah Brightman's.
I don't. Oh, exactly. Listen, I'm a baritone, okay. So I can bow out. So, Nathan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Downing here all the way from London. Well, performing All now, I see. Ask of You. Come on. No more talk of darkness. It's not difficult.
No more talk of darkness. Forget these wide-eyed fears. I'm here. Nothing can harm you. My words will warm and calm you. Let me be your freedom. Let daylight dry your tears. I'm here with you beside you to guard you and to guide you. And off to there we go.
One life, one
why
life.
Why do you know the words?
Penis. How do you not know Sarah Brightman?
Did you not
me,
hear?
Never.
Did you not hear? I auditioned for SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did you sing All I Ask of You?
That's what I auditioned for. With.
I've got to tell you one of the best songs, Sarah Brightman and Cliff Richard.
Yes.
In the 80s.
Yes, what was that called again?
All I Ask of You.
Oh, that was the CD.
Right.
That's what the song was called from Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right.
And he was married to her at the time.
Sarah wow. Mm. Interesting fact about that, mate.
Well, he wrote the show.
His real name is Harry Webb. Did you know that?
Harry Webb.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Cliff Richard's name, not Andrew Lloyd Webber's name.
No. Not Andrew Lloyd Webber. And then the shortening of Richard is obviously Cliff Dick. I don't know if you do that with surnames. Well, it's his radio station.
I do want to say one thing. Yeah. That Gareth Cliff and I had the pleasure of doing Concert in the Zoo for quite a few years. And of course we performed with the Johannesburg Symphony Orchestra. And of course it was our greatest pleasure to interview Dick Cock.
I know. I've had to introduce him and I've been live and I couldn't actually bring myself to say, like, welcome
Richard Cock.
Yeah.
But Richard, obviously Dick Young. Okay.
Yes. I wonder if he always feels like he's in trouble. Because everyone always calls him Richard.
He's a great conductor. Great. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Samantha, and then, of course, Joseph was your... But, yeah. But you know, it's not fair to let one sing and the other not.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
So you have a story, Nathan Rowe, about Samantha.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I should tell the story before or after.
I mean, you had a massive crush on her. We know that.
Yes. I mean, who does? Everyone
well,
did.
I didn't duck on her.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
that hurts me most.
I think the only person who didn't have a crush on her in that that show that we did was... Brian Schimmel. And I don't know why. But Sam Pio had to sing the classic song from Chicago.
Oh, no. You see, I knew you were going to do this.
I just want to tell the story.
I want to hear the story.
And obviously, she was hamming up the character in rehearsals. And she sang the song, and all that jazz. And we were like, Sam, yeah, you know, that kind of sounds like you're saying jizz and not jazz. And so I was kind of hoping she could do that rendition of that song.
No, I'm not going
song.
To.
Well, what if there was music?
Early in the morning, of course, it's the Unview where we try to keep it above the belt.
So should I try and sing? I don't want to sing that.
I think we've got to be fair. Because it's not fair just to sing.
I want to sing something else.
Okay.
Well, see, you know, when you've been in the industry for that long, you want to be treated a certain way. You want to do everything you want to do.
It's like, I want to do what I want to do.
Yes, you're the star of Chicago. Yes, but I want to sing The Lion King.
I know.
So let me.
But we have prepped.
Except she's anything but a diva.
Have you?
Yeah, we've prepped.
Show me what you've done.
Well, I learned this on ukulele.
Did you?
Yeah.
All that jazz on ukulele.
It goes like this.
Can you do it like an octave down? That's not ukulele.
Come, Samantha. Here we go, Samantha Pio.
Is it a long intro or short?
Short.
And come on, babe. What? You fucked me up already.
Well, you were talking over the intro.
This is so
okay,
bad.
Okay, let's start again.
Yeah, here it goes.
Yes. Come on, babe. Why don't we paint the town? I'm going to do
with
it
what?
Just for you. And all that jizz. Reach my knees and roll my stockings down. Khaled is not happy. And all that jazz. Stop the car. I know a whoopee spot. It's getting way too high for me because it's morning.
It's 19 minutes past 9. You should be warm.
It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl. And all that jazz.
Hey, not bad, Sam.
Thanks, babe.
Wow, for 19 minutes past 9?
I know.
Flawless.
Can you hear my talking, though?
Although you did pull in Adele in the beginning.
Did I? What was that?
Oh
yes. Can we start again?
I fucked it up. Remember when she did that at the Grammys?
Language.
Sorry.
And she could do that because she's earned her.
She's been in the industry for a certain amount of time, so she gets treated a certain way, I think.
In the studio, very special guests, Samantha Pio and Anthony Downing. They're the stars of Calling Me Home at the Joburg Theatre. And this is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous with Nathan Rowe and myself, Alan Ford. We'll chat to Roxanne Clutty, who is from Media 24. The Fair Lady Woman of the Future Awards happened this week. It was great, I believe. Absolutely superb. And then we're going to have Mark Lotring on the line because Mark said something so nice about me. And then I thought what we should do is have Mark say nice things about other people. Mm. That's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, what he said to me, I helped him with something, and he sent me a message that said, God was in a very good mood when he made you. And I think that's kind of a cool thing to say. So I'd like to see what he's going to say about Jacob Zuma, Grace Mugabe, Donald Trump, King Juan Il, Oscar Pistorius, Morva Tony, and the city of Lagos. So that's what we're going to
be interested. I like the way you kind of have put yourself on that list.
I want to see what nice things he can say about people.
Yeah, because there's a lot of hate around those people.
I know, that's why we've got to find the positive. We're affirming
positive.
You have positive.
To accentuate the positives.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Eliminate the negatives.
So, Anthony, start of your career, Joseph, just tell us, when were you bit? When were you, bitten?
I think
the first time.
From the beginning. I am from music family and actors and singers and all that. So
tell me more.
My daddy's a musician as well. So, you know, I learned piano when I was started learning piano, playing chopsticks at 5 years old. And then classical training at 12. And then started classical singing at 17. And I started my first musical at 18. And yeah, so it's just been a whole bunch of music and performing since the beginning of my life.
So you've never done an Excel spreadsheet?
I actually have. Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Can you believe it? Yeah.
Was that to like see what,
well,
when
actually,
you can do what show?
I was very desperate in London when I first lived there 10 years ago, and I completely faked my CV to say that I was working in accounts, having never known the difference between a credit note and an invoice before. And I got the job because I did this Excel test and everything, and I knew a bit about computers.
Which is a credit to your acting.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. It was a total acting thing. So, yeah it worked out really well. I was working at Warner Music for 9 months.
Well, that's it. I said to him now, I mean, when I was in London, I sold merchandise front of house, and most people were working in pubs or restaurants.
What were you selling?
I was selling merchandise from the show that I was working on front of house.
What was the show?
There were a couple, actually. Elle Jolson was one, and Fame was another.
Ah.
Ah.
Divine.
And every night I'd watch going, oh.
I'm on that stage, yes. Yeah. Have you, I mean, but Sam, have you been on stage in the UK or in?
No, baby, I do not have the right papers at all. Okay. So it was just basically trying to sort of, and what's the visa situation is you have to be, you know, they have to prove that they can't find anyone in London to do what you are getting cast in. And I mean, that's ridiculous. There are dime a dozen.
There, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I suppose it hasn't been much easier in the States being Native American.
Yeah, I agree. He's good at punk artist.
Well, I'm just saying because Trump is just, you know, anti-everyone. Basically.
He is such a silly fool.
Yeah,
what
maybe
fool.
If you put a white sheet over your head,
get
a roll
work.
That way.
That would work.
Good day, I'm looking for a visa.
That could actually work, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm sure you could pull that off. You could probably get a job as an accountant there.
Oh, I'll try it again, yeah. Round two.
Out of all the work you've done, Sam, what has been your best piece? What do you love? What is a piece that you go, wow, that's I wish I could do that again? Or
do you know, well, the recent ones have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Cabaret was great. Chicago was great. I loved Thoroughly Modern Millie. But if I had to look back a good 20-something years ago, Crazy for You, I don't know if you ever saw that. That was possibly something that would work now, I think, and would be amazing to do again. And also a lot of those roles, I was so much younger then that, and maybe too young, and thinking now that actually that would be something good to do again now. Because you bring so much other stuff to it, you know. I would now talk.
Wait, where did you hear
what you're gonna bring? We were lost in your eyes. Sorry.
I know, just quite.
Yeah, she's mesmerizing when she speaks. It's like a monologue. You don't wanna just interrupt a monologue.
And Anthony, your favorite piece, Phantom.
Favorite musical. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Wicked. I've seen it 3 times, and
he wants to be Elphaba.
Yeah, I want to be Elphaba. Wow. Yeah.
Dare to find me.
So yeah, I know all his songs. Exactly, it's amazing.
I've seen it 8.
Really? Okay. Well, there you go. You share the passion.
You know, I encourage you to go for it. I mean, America's changing. There's, you know, they'll let anyone take
anything
a role.
Goes, yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to try and defy gravity.
That's it. That's it. No discrimination anymore.
You know, I have a few records. That I think Wicked 8, Lion King 8.
Good Lord.
Priscilla 8.
What did these things eat?
Hold on a second. You've seen Les Mis.
Colette Dawson has seen Les Mis Robles
17.
17
I think
times.
Gareth's probably seen it 10 times.
That's like half your life of watching Les Mis.
Really?
It's a long play.
we don't say play.
Jersey Boys 6 times? Yeah, that's not. 17 is a lot.
Is a lot.
Is a lot. And I've seen all of the, I mean, I've seen my shows like, as you have. All over the world. What is your favourite musicals? Not that you've been in, that you've seen.
I want to see Hamilton.
I haven't seen that yet.
Mm-mm, neither.
It's all the rage.
It's all the rage. And I have a bootleg copy of it, don't I?
Really?
DVD.
Well, look at you supporting the the arts.
So Chicago.
I love the way you're taking
Chicago. So Chicago.
You're taking a play that's about kind
of. It's a musical. Not a play.
Sorry, they're playing it being a musical.
But now you're brilliant thespians and you're great musical stars. Have you done performance theatre? Well, straight theatre. I mean,
you mean
plays?
Straight?
No, I've never.
Thank not, you.
I don't mean gay theatre.
Oh.
Like non-musical theatre. Is that the word? Straight plays.
Straight plays. Popcorn.
I love irony.
I did Popcorn.
Okay.
Oh, I remember.
I never know. Music's always been my background, so musical theatre is something I went into from the music side. So I've never done any straight plays.
Okay.
Oh, boring.
And then, what were you going to say, Nathan?
I was going to say, yes, you were in Popcorn with Kim Engelbrecht.
That's true.
Yes, I remember this.
Of course.
Guys, now, here is the thing. You move, you know, in the theatre circles. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to break into television? And have you done that type of work? I mean, I know you have.
Yeah, I mean, I have. I really do musicals that I feel speak to me now, because it is a hard life to do 8 shows a week for however long the run is. Mm-hmm. And so the last one was Cabaret. That was in 2012. So I generally do other stuff. There's, as we know, I've worked with you countless times, Nathan, on corporates.
Yes.
And one does learn to be versatile. You have to get into all aspects of the industry, I think. And television is just such a different training, and I've always been a stage performer. So, but most recently, I have sort of ventured into.
I know.
And I'm enjoying it, loving it. Actually, I would love to do more of that and more film work. Actually, so whoever's listening, cast me in something, won't you?
Listen to her.
There is a television producer in one's midst. I know someone that produces TV. I know someone. I don't know.
How's your Afrikaans, Sam?
Not
well. I've done plenty of English, Zulu.
Afrikaans.
I've done French, Zulu, actually. Sam? You, sir, Anthony. Tell me.
TV. I'd love to get into TV.
I think
and
you'd
film.
Be great in film. Actually,
everyone keeps saying that, but I've never done anything in TV before. So.
You actually look like a character from Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's great! Please.
Yeah, I just picture you whipping out a sword and.
Okay, well,
no,
that's cool.
I don't know. You just not a specific character.
Right.
You just look like
I should
kind
be
of
there.
Off the set.
I should
you have
be there. Hey.
Perfectly manicured beard and long hair and giant sword.
Oh, that Malcolm Cook gay thing is rubbing right off. Hell!
Oh, yeah.
All that jizz and then giant swords and I don't know.
Dawson
all that
is
jazz.
Going to
jazz,
lose
jazz.
Her mind.
But seriously, seriously. Come on, Nathan.
I'm just talking about
the
Game
color
of Thrones.
Schemes.
It's very exciting.
The Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones.
I know. Anyway, so magical stuff. Calling me home. Tell me what do you love about it?
I love the first of all, Alice Gillam. Had an extraordinary vision, and I mean, for both Anthony and myself, I think you did you do a Skype interview with her and me too? So she kind of convinced us in that way, and I appreciated the fact that she was speaking in language that I could understand, which was sort of an emotional connection to stuff, and just the chance to create new work. And also just the character. I really liked my character, which was, a Latino, actually, but I speak with an American accent. So second-generation immigrant, and just a journey of awakening, basically, that she has to go through. So I really connected to that, and I enjoy the music that she played for me. So, yeah, that enthralled me.
Were you offended?
By what?
By the fact that they cast a Native American as a Latino.
Who with an American accent. I don't know. I'm confused.
I actually met your mother. Opening night.
My mother means everybody. What is my mother? What did my mother say to you?
No, I was just saying your mom's definitely not a Native American.
Sam's mom is
which means
hilarious.
That Sam is half Scottish and half
Can
Cherokee.
I tell you a very, very funny story? And I'm going to say that actually Dawn Lindbergh said to me one time, she said, so, because she came to watch a show that I was doing, and she said, so are those your parents? And then she said, but I'm not understanding, who's Chinese? And she thought I was Chinese because my surname was Pio.
Oh, wow.
And she said, who is Chinese? And she was so confused. I think finally it registered, no, I'm just Caucasian.
I'm sorry, I'm
just a cork.
Just what I am.
Regular cork. A cork Asian.
This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. It's good to be with you. My name's Alan Ford with the one and only
Nathan Rowe.
And I've got to tell you that we're going to chat to our two special guests in studio, Samantha Pio and Anthony Downing, just after this. What a wonderful event happened last week, Friday, here in the city of Johannesburg. It was called Fair Lady Woman of the Future Awards from Fair Lady Magazine. Welcome, Roxanne Clutzy. How are you, Roxanne? Welcome to the show.
Roxy. May need a moment.
Roxy, you there? Let's see. Let's try that. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you there, Roxy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you for joining us on the line. And, of course, it was all over the Sunday Times, all over the newspapers, all over social media. Possibly, I would say, for Women's Month, it was the event of the month. And, of course, it's year on year is just phenomenal. What is Fair Lady Women of the Future Awards?
So the Fair Lady Women of the Future Awards, it's in partnership with Santam, and we award female entrepreneurs in two categories. It's in a third year. So the one category is your business has to be profitable, it has to be a minimum of 3 years old, and you have to be 30 years and older. And the reason why we say a minimum of 3 years, Santam has done extensive research to show that the first 3 years of the business is the hardest. And well, then the second category,
and that is interesting because I was there last year, and that is quite important because, you see, it, they say for a business to be a success, it has to run for more than 3 years.
Absolutely.
Because failure happens, or should we say, failure in your business, or what you call bankruptcy, or, you know, it happens within the first 3 years. So it's interesting that you look at those categories. But, of course, the event, you've got Thuli Matonsele, you've got phenomenal judges. Tell us who your judges were, Jan Strauss. To name a few.
Yeah, so we have amazing judges. And in its third year, Advocate Thuli Matonsele was with us from the start, from 2015. She really believes in the awards. So we had Advocate Thuli Matonsele, who's currently studying at Harvard. She's here in South Africa for Women's Month. We had the executive head of Santam for People and Transformation, Jeanette Medisa. We had well-known jewelry designer, Kirsten Goss. And then we all love Anerja Ann Strauss. And she was our judge and MC.
So, again, it's good to see great winners. I know that was attended by Miss South Africa was there. What a lovely. Demi Lee Nell Peters. What a great ambassador.
And she looks absolutely stunning in her tailored suit.
You had, of course, businesswoman Wendy Lou Hobby there. You had Leanne Manis there. Sonia Booth was there. So, of course, it's really about empowering women. But the absolutely. Most important thing is that the Fair Lady Woman of the Future Award is about business. And then, obviously, promoting up-and-coming businesses and established businesses.
Absolutely, yes.
So, who were the winners?
So the winners were, in the Women of the Future category, it was Tiffany Wissing-Hein, and she has a company called Old School Cool. And what they do is they provide safe and reliable transport for children, you know, with parents that just have no time to take their kids to school. They're busy with their careers. But their main focus is safety for children, and they really train their staff. And she employs only women, because statistically women are the safest drivers, and she has over 40 women that she employs. So that is really amazing, and she's only 51 years old, and she's literally grown this company from nothing.
Love it, love it. And the other winner?
And then we've got Anele Mkuza-Magalpe, and she's the founder of the African Entrepreneurship Initiative. She won the Rising Star Award. So what they do is they basically show young entrepreneurs and they give them the tools to start out. So they're a consulting service. And she's done also really, really well. And we, I mean, who knows, she might be the woman of the future in the next 2 years.
Which is what we want to see. Roxanne, thank you for joining us. And again, I want people to support this event. it's really good. And thank you for joining us. So Fair Lady Woman of the Future Awards. Roxanne Clutie, thank you for being with us on the show. Brilliant stuff, eh?
Yeah, amazing. It's just so cool to see business women getting like really recognized, and
that's why it's important.
Yeah.
That's have you ever had a business, Samantha?
Myself. Sorry, say again.
Myself.
Oh, you correct. You are your own entity, yes. You would be your own entity.
Yeah. I actually did have a production company with Lance Marin, and we ran it for a good 7-8 years producing corporate theatre. And then the call of performing for, you know, myself was too strong, because you cannot do both, really. To be on both sides is quite something. It did teach me how difficult artists are.
Really?
Because you have to employ them. And suddenly realizing, oh my God, this is what producers put up with.
Especially the ones that have been in the industry for
a long time and demand, yes, and have earned their stripes.
Treated in a specific way.
I must say, as a producer, you're hitting on a point here.
Yeah.
Because it is hard to, because
how do you keep everyone happy and still be, you know, I mean, it's a business, but how do you keep the artists happy? How do you keep?
I will tell you one thing. I am very patient and I'm very kind. you know, and there are certain rules. Mm. Okay, I always believe cameramen and directors get the best rooms first. No, seriously, they make the pictures.
Right.
Artists get the last rooms, and me, I get then the very last room, because that's actually the way it should work, believe it or not. Mm. Because those are the guys that are actually taking the pictures. And
but you did porn, so you didn't actually need to do costume changes.
That I have not done.
Didn't okay. need costume but changes I've talked about TV or dressing room.
Television and that type of stuff. But can I tell you something? That when you've had Khatfu, similar to what Chuck Lurie did with Charlie Sheen.
What? Yes,
you fire people. Enough. You just say bye bye.
Yes,
Tutsi.
Doesn't matter how talented or how good you are. That's it.
And when the new series second season comes, there's a new presenter. Guess what? Sorry, we just moved on. So don't mess with the producers. That is, that's the way it goes. I'm telling you.
That is, yeah.
And because it's a hard. The thing is, you're juggling so many interests, and believe it or not, producer still has a boss.
Yeah.
And if it's not the SABC, it is the theatre, the client, it's the investor. Mm. So you're still answerable.
Yeah.
So that's why, but the more pressure that people are putting you under, the more you're like, whoa. So at least you've seen that side of it.
Definitely seen that side of it. At the same time, as an artist as well, and I guess it applies to anyone, producers or the channel or whoever, is that you have to be truthful and true to yourself. So if something doesn't sit right, you have to speak up. Do you know what I mean? And it's not always about appeasing people either. Sometimes you have to just stand up for yourself and say whatever and let the consequences be what they may be. And I certainly have been in that situation. So
the show is called Calling Me Home. And Samantha Pio and Anthony Downing in studio, two special guests, two veteran thespians. Here
I'm veteran. He's a baby still.
Okay, all right. Well,
he's just done a lot, but he's a baby, right?
I mean, he just did the whole of Asia.
He did the whole of Asia.
You did the whole of Asia.
I did Asia.
My goodness. Aren't there enough
Samantha,
of them?
you've performed in a number of corporates. I mean, you've worked with the likes of David Block.
Yes.
You've been all over.
Yeah.
Okay, and you've performed on stage with people like Timothy Malloy, mm-hmm. people across the board. I guess some of the best, Craig O'Barney, across the board. What has been your most embarrassing moment?
I've had a couple of falls on stage just simply because I am really clumsy, believe it or not. And in Chorus Line, I actually remember a big moment and actually falling on my butt, and the first instinct wasn't to stand up, it was to slide backwards on my ass. I don't know why it was, because I had to move to the back of the stage. Instead of standing up and running, I kind of just did a kind of backward motion. So that was quite, almost like cat-like, weird. There are many, but I have a terrible memory. But actually, some of the funniest moments actually are... just people, you know, when you're in a long run as well, people forgetting words or changing things. And for some reason, that just is hysterical, even though it's really not. It just is hysterical on stage, corpsing and that kind of stuff.
Yes, but you the veterans are meanies. They're not cool. because, for example, if you open a book on stage, all of a sudden there's naked people in it. And you're meant to hold the light. Seriously. And you're meant to hold that.
Yes.
You know what it's like. It's
I did it once, and I tell you, I don't think I'll ever do it again. I'd love to do a panto. I'd like to be the genie in the lamp. That's just one thing I'd like to do.
You just play.
That I could do. That's the only thing I'd be interested in.
Definitely.
Anthony, your most embarrassing stage moment.
Well, it is always like tripping and falling is always the most. Because, I mean, especially with Ryle, I mean, he's such a serious character. And in the rooftop, this beautiful romantic scene, I did the same thing. And the stage was slippery, and I fell twice, actually. And with my big
you
long
slide
proton.
Backwards on your bum, though.
No, I don't know how. It looked really bad. I don't know, something just
what did
didn't
happen?
Work.
Didn't you end up hanging? No, what happened?
Well, that's what happens every night. So the embarrassment faded after time. But yeah, I mean, I think
it's
those are probably.
Falling.
Yeah, it's really. Because everything else, you do know. I mean, it's the stuff might happen backstage, you know, so no one really knows about that. So it's not too embarrassing. Mm. But when you're on stage, that's when, you know, everything's got to happen. And when it doesn't.
Or an epic costume fail. Something happens and...
Oh, yeah, my fly was down once. Yes, that happened.
Okay,
yeah.
May I? I've got something for you. Oh, no, not may I with your fly. No, please. No.
See, that's way more gay than I
You must understand,
gone.
You had thoroughly modern Millie upstairs. And they, of course, Fiona Ramsey was in it, Craig Ubani,
Angela Killian,
yeah, and they had these beautiful costumes, these lovely dresses. And downstairs at the Thiessen Theatre, that was the name at the time, because they keep changing the name of these damn places. I don't know anymore where. Someone said to me, you go to the fridge, and I'm like, where's that? You know, I get confused. But here is it, that because the Debbie Does Dallas, the musical, is porno, a lot of the scenes are meant to look naked. Now, you're not naked. You're wearing either a cock sock, which is what they call it. Sure. No, seriously, that's what it's called.
Sure.
No, but seriously. No, but seriously. Sure. Or you wear a G-string. Not the thick one, the little one.
The thick one's called E. One.
Yeah, you get the ballerina one, and you get... You know what I'm talking about. Help me out. But you know, half the times, because... The Debbie Does Dallas has a shower and water scene.
Yes.
You know that these G-strings go quickly. So you can't get them on. So a lot of the scenes were done seriously naked on stage. You had to fly down. But imagine, and I'm not being funny, I'm more of a robust person. But do you know what it's like when you just can't get that thing on and you just run on
stage? Yeah.
I want to know what made you do that show. I mean, what was it that drew you to that piece?
Would you not have taken the opportunity, Sam?
You must understand, they had an award-winning show upstairs. We had, which made money, seriously, the show was, I mean, it was a mess, but it was really a hot, sexy mess.
But it was fun.
Porno mess, that's what it was. But do you know what made, I tell you what happened was, I met a woman called Caprice Beret.
Yes, of course.
In that American accent.
Yeah.
You know, from California. And she was, it's really bad, so don't do that.
And she was really beautiful. And she
I wasn't into her.
No, of course weren't into her.
And we were sitting there and we started singing around a table because we were good friends. And she said, you know, will you help produce and will you get involved and can you try to find sponsors and all that stuff. And then she said, we were singing drunk one night, all of us having fun. And she said, you have got to be in the play. In the production.
It's a musical.
I thought, porno. No, I could, and I can sing, so let me do this thing. I've never done it before. I've never been for an acting thing in my life, so let's give this a shot. And she said, you should play Tim, Dick's best friend. And I thought, well, you know.
That does kind of make sense for
you. The character's name was, the actual character's name is Dick and Tim.
But funny, I'm very fond of Dick.
And then the entire cast was phenomenal because you had Tanya van Graan, Caprice Beret, Tessa Denton,
yes.
Boosie Leray, Femme Beeling.
Pierre van Heerden,
top star who played Pumba and on your show. We had people like Brandon Orett, Jacques Terblanche.
Yeah, it was good people.
It was a good, like, and I thought, wow, and there's Alan Ford, like, yeah, he's playing Dick's best friend. And...
And he's got been playing that role ever since.
I can tell you the Lebanese community, the priests, everybody from the church came to see me. And I got to tell you.
And?
Oh, I don't know.
That's one way to get exercise.
It was really, I lost so much weight. It was so much. But the shower scene, you remember the shower scene that Dennis Hutchins was.
I remember it all very well.
The whole stage starts showering, and then you sing the song about Nate. Oh, it's the whole thing. And swear, it's great. It was really fun.
Now that we know the whole plot for Debbie Does Dallas,
let's talk about Calling Me Home.
Well, yes.
I really don't know what Calling Me Home is about, and I'd love for you to give me with a spoiler-free...
Yes.
Like the back of a DVD.
Oh, spoiler-free.
Go, Anthony, it's on you.
Yes. And sum it up.
Well, what didn't you pick up from watching it on opening night, first of all?
Well I wasn't there.
Okay. Wasn't there. All right.
You know, I'm very busy with SpongeBob.
He's doing SpongeBob and Swing City.
That was there.
Swing
okay.
City, I was there.
Right.
Give it a good old... teaser,
but for the listeners,
did you
as
pick
well.
Up that it was about hope, love, and home and displacement of home? Let's start there.
I did.
Okay, that's pretty much the premise of the story.
I found there were many stories,
many themes,
many stories in it.
Well, I think the main story is Grace's journey, played by Linnell Kennard,
who's brilliant in the opera.
Who's amazing?
Music.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's
and you know, she flees home because there's a war happening in Africa, and she meets other immigrants along the way. Zelani being one of them, and they eventually get to America, to search for a better life or whatever the case is.
As one does.
As one does. And many people around the world are doing at the moment.
And then, of course, she runs into Samantha, who plays
That's
a crack
right,
whore.
Yes. I'm her brother.
No, not a crack. You're a...
I am a crack whore.
Just a regular whore.
You are a bit... No, really. Oh. She really is a...
No, I am actually not either of those. Let me tell you, I'm
just
a jazz singer in a club.
A jazz singer.
And I'm very sophisticated, and it's a very elegant part. And so there.
I would like to just say I haven't seen the play, so that
musical
description was on...
No, that's not... Hold on. But I thought...
I get caught up in a bad...
A relationship.
And a bad sort of... What am I trying to say? Sort of bad elements. As one does when you move overseas and you will take whatever job. I mean, Anthony, we were talking about this. Whoever has actually tried to emigrate or tried to leave, you know, you're not necessarily, if you're a doctor here, you're not necessarily going to be able to work as a doctor there.
You're in a desperate situation.
You're in a desperate situation. Yeah. So it is kind of that. And also calling me home, I think, generally speaks to what is home for people. It could be a physical place. It could be an emotional place. And all the different characters have their own version of what home is. So
basically,
does that make sense?
If I was to sum it up in a song, it would be something like...
Just a small town girl.
Is it about a small town girl?
A small village girl.
A small village girl.
Go.
This is a very long intro.
Oh. Doesn't the guy start?
Yeah, but it's too early for me to start this.
Yeah, we have to wait for the whole...
It's a rock voice. Go, Nathan.
This is me singing. Right, but that's kind of the
thing. That's kind of it.
Like,
yes.
It's kind of the small town American story, but instead of starting in a small town in America, you're starting all the way in Africa and going to America. Mm. Okay, cool. Mm. I get it now. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying and not giving away the ending.
Yes, so the two of you, a lot of young people listen to the show, and this is not an easy business. Mm-mm. And it's so important that people think Charlize Theron and Trevor Noah, for that matter, and people that you see on the stage, that the lights and the glitz and the fame, it is bloody hard work.
It's hard work.
No one actually realizes how difficult it is.
Totally.
You know, when you have to put on weight, when you have to do, it's no one gets it. Yeah.
I'd be so good at that.
I won the award already for it. Then the rich and the fabulous, and the Academy Award goes to boom. But I mean, you see glitz, you see glamour, you see
That's
E!
It.
News, you see fun things, you see photo shoots, GQ's Men Health, all the fun stuff. But this is damn hard stuff. So, what advice do you give to young people?
Well, basically, why are you doing it? Why would you want to be in the industry? Is it because you have a natural talent for it? Is it because you are a creative person who wants to express that? Or is it because you're wanting fame? And those are very different things. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Because fame is not the real reason. You know, because you know, you see it with, and you see it especially in the female acting world, is that you go back, let's say 30-odd years ago, Sally Field won an Academy Award, top of her game. Okay, people like they're playing Sissy Spacek.
Yeah,
okay. Helen Mirren.
No, but where's Sissy Spacek? because then she has been around, but she might be doing something on Broadway, or she might be doing a TV show. Or do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That this is not an easy game, and you're not there
constantly
the
at
new
the top
people
or constantly
that are just
in the
coming
news
in.
Or, yeah, but I actually think that's what creates a long-term and an established career is the fact that, you know, you're never always going to be at the top, and there's always going to be dips. But as long as you continue working and working on your craft, I think that says a lot, really.
I've heard people say the difference between kind of acting and fame is if you want to become famous, just punch someone famous, you know, drive a car through a, you know, just keep doing
stupid things.
So that the media has something to report about,
which
that
is
will
so
make you famous.
Which is not talent, by the way.
Which
fame
is not talent.
Is not talent.
No.
I'm sorry.
Reality TV.
Kardashians are very good businesswomen, but they're not extremely...
Not at all. What
television talent, to be fair.
to be fair.
All these Big Brother people, really? Come on. I dig Ferdy, but Shitting in the Garden, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm.
It's
and I mean, even the Fame Academy,
that Nathan was in.
Nothing good came out of that. No, but I agree. And you know what's funny is that, I mean, being involved in a reality show many years ago when it was just starting out, when I watch reality TV now, I can't believe how people see it for what it is and just believe, you know, believe that,
that
it's true.
That is the lifestyle. That is it.
And you're
yes.
like, wow, it's
and
all and, fake.
And what you were saying as well about youth aspiring to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's not...
100%.
Right.
Special guest in studio, Samantha Pio, Anthony Downing from Calling Me Home. On the line, Mark Lottery. Is Mark there? Mark's not there. Let's get Mark back on the line. We're going to get Mark back on the line.
He's just playing a joke on us now.
I know. Mark, you...
Comedians are the worst.
His show is called Hashtag Lottering. It's at the Monte Casino. And I tell you, I saw it at Daphne's. He is brilliant.
He is brilliant.
Mark Lottering, welcome to the show. Where is Mark? Is Mark there? Where is Mark? I don't know where Mark is. Can we find Mark? Mark, Mark, where are you, Mark? It's like L, Steve, Steve.
It's like Marco Polo, Marco Polo. Mark, where are you?
Terrible. I know.
It's loitering.
My darling Jane, let's get... yeah, Mark's loitering. We're going to chat to you. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, please get to Monte Casino to go and see Hashtag Lottering. Let's see if Mark's now on the line. How are we doing there, Jane, with Mark? We got him.
She looks like she has him. Looks like she's talking to someone.
Okay, let's put him on. Are we on?
Nope. No, I think she's just phoned a friend. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. It's also good.
On that note, you know, you did have another song for us.
I did. Didn't
yes, yes,
I?
You have it all prepped, and we're going to sing it.
Oh, yes.
Correct.
Right, yes. Well, actually, I thought our guest would sing it, because yes. I don't know if you know this about Anthony Downing.
Okay.
He actually does a wicked Elvis Presley.
Oh, do I?
Yes,
don't,
you do.
Don't you?
I think so. What? I don't even know any...
Well, I know Sam will help you out.
Okay, everyone's going to help you. Okay, what are we
saying? But only if you also do.
Tell me what wise men do.
It's too high for me.
Oh, come on.
You see, when a performer gets...
I'll have to do know, this.
...has been in the industry for a certain
men.
Amount...
That's too low.
Wise men say...
Come on, people.
Only fools rushing. But I can't help falling
the
as the river flows gently to the sea.
You know, that's lovely. You could play. How much time do you have? Are we still waiting for
No, we have
poetry?
No time to play anything.
Anything.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to play?
Well, he could play Little Mermaid and sing that, couldn't
he? Ah! I want to be where the
people are.
Well, funny you mentioned that.
Funny you mentioned that.
I was
just about to play it.
Yay! It's all there for you. Everything.
Have to find it.
Got quickly. Small problems connecting with Mark Lottering, but we'll try get him perhaps next week on the line. I do want to know what he has nice things to say. Okay, here we go. Here's the team. And
look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Say this connection's complete. When you think I'm a girl.
I would think you're a girl.
Everything. Oh, look at this. 12 treasures untold.
How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure,
she's got everything.
Right?
Yeah. Go.
I've gizmos and gadgets of plenty.
I got who's its and what's its galore.
You want groupies?
No.
I got 20.
I want thingamabobs. Who cares?
But who cares?
No big deal. I want more.
I want more.
Samantha.
I want to be where the people are. Do
An
I?
Audience?
Do I really?
Want to see them dancing?
Yes.
Walking around on those.
What do you call them?
I think you call them Crocs. Flipping your fins,
you don't get too far.
Legs are required for
jumping,
walking,
dancing,
and those things.
Strolling along down the, what's that word again?
Streets. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun. Wandering free, wish I could be
part of that world.
What would I give
to spend a day out of these waters.
I'll do the whole song.
What would I give to spend a day warm on the sand? I bet you on land they'd understand. Bet they don't reprimand their daughters and sons.
Young women, sick of swimming.
Ready to stand. I want to know what the people know.
Yes. Tell me.
Ask them my questions and get some answers. What's gonorrhea and why does it? What's the word? Burn. When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore the world above us? At 9:53, Sam can still sing. That was wonderful.
That was beautiful.
That's the best rendition.
Flounder.
Oh, Flounder. Yeah.
Yes. On that note, the final question to you both. What? If you could be any cartoon character ever, who would you be?
Oh. Flynn Rider.
Oh, wow.
Who's Flynn Rider?
I know Flynn Rider.
Who's that?
How do you not know who Flynn cool. Rider is?
Is he from Disney?
Yeah.
And me, Pocahontas.
Would you really be Pocahontas?
Sure.
Okay. Great hair, Pocahontas and Sam Pio.
Very special guest in studio, Samantha Pio, Anthony Downing. Don't miss the show, Calling Me Home. It's great, homegrown, proudly South African theatre, happening at the Joburg Theatre, and it runs still up until September, 3rd of September. Yeah, it's still happening. Don't miss it. Thank you for joining us, guys.
Pleasure.
You've been
so
fabulous. Fabulous. I loved it. It was great. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
I'm off to Silver Scatum.
Are you not going to be here next week?
No, I'm with you, but I'm going to I'm flying right now.
Oh, fantastic. Enjoy the scatter.
We're going to see all the cake net people, all the Afrikaans men.
I don't know what the scatter means. Sounds exciting.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for being here.
This is the Unview, where the thin, we still haven't worked out who the thin, the rich, and the fabulous is. Good morning. Look after yourself.
The Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.